I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends.
Friends, welcome back to Hot Topics, Cool Friends, where the conversations flow like jazz.
I like how I put that in there.
That is so unique, Wendy.
I love it.
Today we've got a true living legend in the house.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Jean Holden is here with us. She has been
the one and only.
The one and only Toledo's first lady of song, and trust us, she's earned it. From opera to jazz clubs, lifetime awards to mentoring the next generation, Jean Holden has done it all, seen it all, and sung it all.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
That's incredible.
She did her homework.
I'm learning something.
Oh, my goodness. That was very
good. Wow, that's sweet. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks. So let's see. I want to know, because I think Lori, obviously Lori's known you for decades now, right? Are we at the decades?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure, yeah.
So I have a list of questions because, I mean, I didn't know you were an opera singer.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did do opera. Mm-hmm. Not professionally. I was involved with opera in school. My training was all operatic. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something that I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But the teachers, my vocal instructors, thought they had something in me that they could use. And this was in Shreveport, Louisiana. And Shreveport, Louisiana is located in northwestern Louisiana at the Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas
border
regions. Mm-hmm. And even back then in 1954, 55, 66, and 57, I traveled for the school to all of those places for competitions. And this was what I did for the school. And I understand that they have awards and things still there from those years ago when I won that. But that wasn't something that I really wanted to do. And then when I came to Toledo, in 56, 57, I had several scholarships to Dillard University, which is in New Orleans, and I had a scholarship, a six-month scholarship to Juilliard, and I had a full scholarship to Oberlin College. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd met this young man 4 years older than I was, and I thought, school, college, I think I'd rather stay here in Toledo, Ohio and get married, have some babies. Mm-hmm. Who wants to go to school? That's what I did, and I regretted that for a number of years. I would have nightmares about that I'd go back to Booker T. Washington High School in Shreveport, and people would shun me, wouldn't talk to me because I had given up those scholarships.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. But then I got involved with music here in Toledo, and I had before we actually got married. I got married at age 17. Mm-hmm. I see children now at age 17. I think, gosh.
It's changed. They've changed.
Oh.
Different, yeah.
But then when I came here and my cousin, I'm just jabbering.
Mm-mm. It was great.
My cousin and her husband owned Crown Cleaners here in Toledo, and they were the reasons that I came to Toledo, and they wanted me to stay here and watch the kids one summer while they worked full time at the cleaners. And when I got here, she said, "Oh no, you're too cute to just stay at home and watch the kids. We want you to come over to the cleaners and work the counter." Mm-hmm. Well, this was where I met the gentleman who became my husband. that was when I decided not to go back and take the scholarships. Mm-hmm. But if I had had any sense at all, I would have at least taken the one at Oberlin, because that was right here in Ohio. But
oh, that's true.
I didn't do that. There were just lots of things. I'll stop there and you can ask me something else.
No, I love it.
I do too.
You're good.
So I didn't know you met Harvey at the at
no, that wasn't Harvey.
Okay.
That was Howard.
Gotcha.
Okay. Howard Holden. And isn't that strange? Howard Holden and then Harvey Hanna. That's something about the H's, I guess I liked.
I guess so. But, you know, I do think that, you know, I was talking to someone that every decision we make in our life leads us to where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And you have touched, I start to cry because I just adore you. But you have touched so many lives by being here in Toledo. Mm. I mean, you really, really, really have. You're just...
Well, and those lives that I've touched have also touched my life. They've all been an uplift for me. I've grown. I learn when I work with someone. I learn also, and I'm still teaching. I'm still coaching, and I'm still learning.
What's your go-to advice for the young and up-and-coming singers? Has it changed from when you started long ago to now, or is it pretty consistent?
Not really. It's still the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's back to what I was speaking on earlier, my training, all of that training that I had in school, I apply to everything that I do now, because I did come here and go continue to do opera when I came to Toledo. I was in a show called... I can't remember the name of it now, but it was out at the amphitheater, Toledo Zoo Amphitheater. And it was set in Johannesburg. And the opera singer that came in and did the lead was Shirley Verrett. And I was her understudy. Hmm. She later sang with the Metropolitan Opera. Hmm. But I was her understudy. And she never got sick, so I never had a chance to sing for it. But I was doing a lot of opera still at that time. And then I joined the Toledo Opera Association. I was one of the first three blacks that sang with the Toledo Opera Association.
Yeah, I wondered.
David Carter and Alberta Tolles and myself.
And this is in the 60s?
This was in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. So then after the dry cleaners... Like, how did you stop working at the dry cleaners and open up a studio?
Well, that was a lot of years later, because I wanted to have babies. So I got married in 1957. Jerry, who is now 65, was born 1959. So it wasn't that I had to get married.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I joined the Toledo Opera Association, and then I, 1961, I became pregnant with Lisa, and there's a picture of me somewhere backstage with the Toledo Opera Association, and I don't know if any of you remember Skitch Henderson. Skitch Henderson from years ago, Leslie Uggams sang on his show book. Skitch Henderson came here and conducted The Merry Widow. And I was sitting backstage. I was pregnant with Lisa. And that was the last opera. Well, no, that was. I sang in several other operas after that. La Traviata, La Boheme, Carmen, lots of operas. With the Toledo Opera Association, which Lester Friedman and Francis Friedman founded. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what year that was, but I kept doing that, and that marriage lasted for 15 years. And that was when I moved to Collingwood in the Old West End, and started to teach out of my home. Harvey came into my life. Harvey Hanna came into my life, entered 1977, December 12th, 1977.
Oh, she remembers the exact time.
Harvey Hanna walked into my life. Now, by that time, I was singing at the supper clubs. I dropped the opera because it was not going to make any money for me. I was not going to have the opportunity to perform and make money singing opera. So I went back to my roots, what I did. And I'm skipping all over the place and what have you. Growing up in Shreveport, Louisiana, I listened to all kinds of music, country. I love country. I think probably in another life I was a country singer. But I love country.
Love it.
And in Shreveport, Louisiana, there was a show called the Louisiana Hayride that came on every Saturday night from the Municipal Auditorium in Shreveport, Louisiana. I would sit and listen to that, and I would hear Patti Page sing. I'd hear Patsy Cline sing. And I thought, I want to do that. I want to do that. And I wanted to go and hear and see them. But I wasn't allowed to go, being a little black girl. I was not allowed to go there. And so I listened on the radio to that. And then I would listen to the big band music, Rosemary Clooney, Ella Fitzgerald, Anne Margaret, just all kinds of singers I would listen to. So I had a mixture of things that I did, and which I still do, but that training that I had, then I would apply it to anything, any music, that any country song I want to sing, I apply that same training of using the diaphragm, getting the mouth open, et cetera, et cetera. So Harvey and I, in 1980, Harvey and I got married in 1979. And 1983, and I did Mary Kay. I did Mary Kay between 79 and, I've been hopping all over the place. Worked the Hospitality Motor Inn for 14 years. That was originally owned by Sohio, which is now BP, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Sohio owned Hospitality Motor Inn, and then it was called something else, O'Harley. That was when Leona Helmsley stepped in and purchased all of the Hospitality Motor Inns, and they were changed to Harley's. But anyway, Harvey and I opened in 1983, opened our own little place, and we stayed open from 83 to, we closed in 87, July 1987, we closed. And I had started teaching privately, and I had, my studio was in the old common space, that old school building on Reynolds there.
Yeah.
And so I started teaching, had a studio there and started teaching. And that was when it all, I started teaching a full time then.
Gotcha.
Working with lots of different people. Mm-hmm. Katie Holmes was with me. I've had lots of people who have gone on to do other things.
Can Katie sing?
Yes, she can sing.
Well,
she's a good singer.
Yeah.
She's a good singer. She's a good song and dance girl, too.
Nice.
Quite the dancer. She was in the same building that the O'Connell studio was in. And she would come and see me and sing. And then Quinn Smith started with me when she was 6 years old and went to, at age seven, went to audition for Les Mis, for Cosette in Les Miserables. And she got the part and traveled with the show for a couple of years.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
What has totally changed now? What do you think about the whole AI-generated you know, sound that's coming out. Have you had to deal with any of that, or some young singers coming in going saying, I want to use, I don't know the terms, Lori, like of all the machinery that you can use to make your sound, your voice sound better without having to go to an expert?
Well, I have.
Auto-tune, that's it.
I see what you're saying.
One
young man just called and said, Miss Holden, I'd like to sing. I'd like to teach me how to sing. And I want to have so-and-so. And I thought.
There's that face.
You guys, the faces are.
And I'm saying, God, my tongue. Guide my tongue. Mm-hmm. But he's got to learn. They have to learn how to talk first. Mm-hmm. Because all singing is talking with melody. That's all singing is. And people think that they have to pull it from somewhere else to sing. No, it's right within you. And we all have many different voices for various songs. We talk differently with different people. We don't always have the same pattern of speech with everybody. We talk a little different. You know, every now and then I'm with a bunch of people that's from South and I can kick down. Mm-hmm. I can get down with the Southern dialect, you know.
Right.
But as a rule, I practice speaking as well as possible, you know. But I saw when this young man, I thought, God, he needs to learn how to talk first before I can work with you singing. And so quite often I will have a person come in and they want to sing a song. And I says, take that, let's talk it. Look at the lyrics and speak the words with the music. It's that simple. It's that simple. So when they learn to do that, then I can work with the breathing. People will say, well, I need to learn how to breathe. No, you know how to breathe. If you didn't know how to breathe, you'd be dead.
Right.
And it's not breathing, it's phrasing.
Okay.
Everybody does not have the same capacity to sing a whole phrase without taking a pause here and there. So I'll say, let's put an imaginary comma here or there, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. I kind of understand. You know. Lori knows. Lori tried to teach me how to sing on our way home from Chicago one day.
She did.
Because she had for 3 hours, and I was like, teach me
three
something.
3 hours in the car. Mm-hmm. Well, because, so I took my stepdaughter to Jean when she was 12, and then I had a baby, and when she was 4, she went to Jean, who is now Ella Cole, and it was just amazing. So I would sit there, because I'm a smother mother, and I would watch, and I would learn, and I would go home and do the different, because I had sung on the road, and that's how I ended up in Toledo, and it was really funny. I didn't want, because I'd been in the industry since I was 7 years old, I really wanted my children to have soul in their voice. And I looked for a black singing coach, mm-hmm. because I wanted them to have soul,
right.
and feeling. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I found Jean Holden.
Gotcha. There
and
you go.
We just hit it off. And mm-hmm. so then when Bella was 4, I didn't want her to develop singing from the nasal cavity. So I said, how young is too young to bring them to you? And she's like, I could take her. And so it was just funny because she started at such a young age. But because she was so young, I remember going to Jean and Harvey's, and I'd sit there, and Bella would be crying. And, you know, she was little and da-da-da-da-da. And she would be like, Harvey, they're almost gone.
Get me a Bloody Mary.
I need a drink. They're leaving. But it was a lot of fun. But so through that experience, I had wanted to teach. I wanted to grow up. When I grew up, I wanted to be like Jean. So I had called Jean, and we talked, and then I taught voice under the direction of Jean. And then as I got into other things, I passed down the studio to mm-hmm. Isabella. Mm-hmm. And So now she's Ella Cole teacher. Has a school of voice mm-hmm. under the direction of Gina Holden.
Wow.
So.
Well, I thank you for that. That's so strange. People will come to me and they think that because I'm black, that I ought to have some soul. I ought to mm-hmm. get down. I got to get down. Got to get down. Have some soul. Howsoever, mm-hmm. it goes and comes. It depends on the mm-hmm. song. It depends mm-hmm. on the song I'm singing. It depends on what genre it is. You know.
But that is what I liked about the name of your studio, was vocal expression.
It's vocal expression. People will say, learn to sing. But I'm not teaching singing. Right. I'm learning, teaching how to use, to express.
Right, which I love.
The voice, how to use yeah. expression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of foundation work, I'm sure. You got to start from the foundation and go up and not just, hey, teach me how to sing. I mean, can't imagine. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should teach me how to sing right now. No. You got 5 minutes, no.
But Wendy, you have such a beautiful speaking voice. This should be no problem.
All right. I'll be over later.
And then you have to just choose the right songs. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't sing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You pretty much can. I'm just saying. You can sing the phone book. It's okay.
Well.
Because you express it, so you make it your own. You're not necessarily copying the artist with different songs. You make it yours.
Well, here's a million-dollar question. Who's very popular right now, or maybe passed away or whatnot, that's been hyped up, who really, in your opinion, can't sing?
Mm.
There's the face.
I don't think I'd ever say that.
You can tell us later.
I'm never going to say that. Thinking of that, I like a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to anything, even rap. Huh? There's some rap that I really love. I love Will.i.am's mm-hmm. And Roberta Flack's song, Where is the Love? I don't know if you've ever heard that
yeah.
song, Where's the Love?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love listening to Will.i.am sing that, do that song, and the rap that he does with it is just, and it's so timely. It was done probably 15 years ago, but it still applies to today. So you should pull that up and listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But I love all kinds of music, and I love country.
Who's your favorite country artist? Do you have one?
Well, Patsy Cline was my favorite. I sing that song Crazy. Mm-hmm. I sing the heck out of Crazy all the time. Somebody says, sing Crazy. I'll do that song. And the other 2 weeks ago, I sang, it was St. Patrick's Day, I sang Oh Danny Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get very emotional when I sing certain songs. I sang that song, and Harvey and I used to sing it together. Harvey was Scot-Irish and German, and he loved that song. He loved Oh Danny Boy. And so I sang Danny Boy, Oh Danny Boy, and I love singing that song. I love doing songs that have a message,
mm-hmm.
that have heart.
So you are still teaching, right?
I am.
Mm-hmm.
I have a student today at 5:30. So I'm teaching all the time.
You want to,
and I do a lot. I also teach, do elocution, a lot of elocution work. I have people who will call who need to work on a lecture.
Oh.
On the weekends, I tend to be busy. I work online with people who've written their sermons that I work with.
Hmm. Okay.
So I do a lot of that.
That's what elocution is called. I didn't know.
Elocution.
That's
learning to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You're still teaching.
I am.
Are you still taking more students on?
I am.
In fact, she is getting a new student because my son needs lessons. And I said, you're going to go to mom or Isabella? And he said, can I go to Jean?
Absolutely. So is it accurate, you know, that most singers, anybody who wants to sing should take lessons? I feel like it's just, you don't. I know people are born with beautiful voices, I get it, but shouldn't everybody sort of learn how to do different things?
Is that not true? Necessarily, because in some cases, someone that thinks that they can teach can make
it worse.
Mm-hmm.
I hope and you're not so talking like, about me.
And no. So like what
she
I try,
taught me everything I know. Right?
What I try to do is work with a person to not to inflect my method, my way of singing for that I sing onto them. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is I will say to them is to enhance what you already have. Mm-hmm. I don't want to try to change you.
Well, that's what an excellent coach does, you know, I would think.
And I merely want to enhance what you already have, mm-hmm. teach you how to use the voice, how to get the very best out of your voice, not try to make you. Mm-hmm. What's that song used to be? I don't want to make you over. I don't want to make you over. I just want to enhance what you already have.
So will you come
back? But there are people that think that they can sing and they can't.
Well, that's what I was getting. I mean, yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's when I used to call Jean, listen, I don't know what to do with the student, because I wouldn't know what to do because it was so difficult.
Because they wanted to do it so badly.
Then mm-hmm. that's where the talking came in. And because you never, like you said, you never want to discourage anybody because,
right.
You know.
And it's also important to record. For instance, now I have a new student coming tomorrow, a 15-year-old, and they already have conceived what they think they should sound like, what they want to do. They've been listening to the singers on the radio and a particular artist, and they want to emulate them. Mm-hmm. So I will tell them, I want to record you at the beginning of the session singing whatever it is you've chosen. If I don't have it on have that on tracks, they can sing it a cappella. Sing that for me, and then I will listen to them, and then I will explain my method of what I think, how I think they should approach it. Mm-hmm. And we'll do that back and forth, so that they can hear them for themselves, because they have that conceived idea that, oh, I sound so great. Mm-hmm. And then they, oh.
So we hear ourselves differently than okay.
Right.
That's why. Because right now I think I love, like, I want the microphone to go with me everywhere because I think I sound better here, which is probably true, right?
No, you always sound
no,
good.
No, I don't think so.
But I'll record myself when we play out. And someone asked me that, why are you recording yourself? And so I can learn mm-hmm. what I don't like and what I do like. Mm-hmm. And you taught me that too.
Well, Lisa, my daughter Lisa, Miss Holden, we're getting ready for a performance. And so we started working on the songs the other day, and I was recording us so that I can go back and listen and say, oh, I think I need to do this like that. I think mm-hmm. I need to change that. I think I need to do such and such. Yeah. Here.
It really, really helps.
And my daughter says, well, Mom, I chose this song because I know you love drama. Because I don't just sing. I'm more of a performer. I like to take a sweet song and just stretch it, you know, caress it. And then I like to take something else and really pound it. So she says, I chose this song, Mom, because you like drama.
Right. Yeah.
But then I also will cry. I'll cry. And I think the older I get, the older I get, the older we all get, is that we're looking at life so differently. And to think that we're getting closer and closer in the winter of my life, 85 years old, and I'm getting closer, and I think any time. And so I get up with gratitude that I'm still here. I'm still here. That is a lot to be thankful for when you look in here and you see people. This the young boy the other day that was drugged by the car.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. 16 years old. Mm-hmm. That horrible death of the little 14-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. So every day is such a blessing that we, and so I get up and I tell my kids, I get up and I tell them, if you come to the house and my bed is not made and I don't have my eyeliner on, it is time to call the people.
Yes.
Because yeah. I get up making my bed and saying, thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you for bringing me through the night. I'm grateful.
Are you going to ask her our famous question?
Yeah. So, Jean, why? We ask everyone this question. Mm-hmm. So, and you can think about it for a second or two. why are you our cool friend?
I don't know. I would...
I know.
I'm not sure I would know that except to say that I think that everybody likes to be liked. Everybody wants to be. Love makes the world go round. You know, everybody wants that little bit of love. And so, to be cool, I think, is to be loved.
I love it. And we got her to sing a little.
I know.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh, well, will you come back and talk with us another time?
I'd love that, but I'd like to, I am so hungry. My stomach is talking over here.
You know what? We'll get the to-go mics, and we'll just take her to a restaurant and have our podcast there next time.
All right. But this is, you two beautiful ladies, this has been wonderful. And this handsome gentleman sitting across the way there, and this pretty little lady, Miss Angel.
Got a whole team happening, huh?
This is wonderful. You know, I didn't go to bed. If I had gotten in the bed, I wouldn't be here.
I know, she said.
I would not be here if I had gotten in the bed. I stayed in my recliner chair, which tilts all the way back, and then I know that I'm going to wake up because of that father clock starts banging, so I'm not going to be asleep. So I got out of the chair at 7:30 because my bonus daughter over here said that she was going to pick me up at 9:30, and I thought, I gotta get ready. So I can't get in the bed.
Good thing the power didn't go out or anything last night.
Oh, yes.
But you really had your grandfather clock, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Right. But this has been wonderful, and it's so good to be with you, Miss Wendy.
I know. You're just a gem. Every time you're around, I just feel better.
Well, I just so appreciate this. So appreciate it. I'm grateful that you asked me to.
Well, we love you. Thank you for coming.
I love you.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer, and
Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to wgte.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.